Lord, we do ask that you please be with us tonight, Lord. We want that to be our plea, Lord, that we would be able to give more love to you, Lord. You've shown us unconditional, godly, holy love to us. And Lord, help us to take that.
Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to teach something tonight that I'm excited about. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12. That proves men should make coffee. Amen. Hebrews. Anyway, yeah, buddy. Careful. You'll end up making the coffee all the time yourself. Yeah. That's called Keurig. They don't brew coffee anymore. Hebrews chapter 12. All right, here we go. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, watch this, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a bit tonight. But here's what I need you to understand. I'm going to be totally honest. I'm going to teach about a topic tonight that I believe most everybody has been taught wrongly. By the way, I was taught it wrongly. I can't tell you that I haven't used it wrongly in days gone by. Years ago, I got a hold of this thing and it got scriptural finally, and I'm going to teach it to you scripturally. Here's the statement that I want you to get. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Here's the question, and don't answer it out loud. Do people in heaven see us down here on earth? The answer is no. In my life, I've been taught, well, this cloud of witnesses is everybody in heaven watching us from heaven in the grandstands. That's not what this is saying. You see, are they leaning over the wall of heaven cheering us on? Many people misuse Hebrews 12:1. This cloud of witnesses, they use as people in heaven. Now, you have to understand something. Go back to the first word there, wherefore. That's kind of a strange place to start a sentence, isn't it? Well, when the Bible says wherefore or therefore, you have to go before to find out what it's there for. It is a transition word. It is a transition word. That means chapter 11 and chapter 12 go together. So we've just gone through God's illustration of faith and people that he used as an illustration of great faith. And then he says, wherefore? Wow. So you have to keep in mind, all of Hebrews chapter 11 is a part of the beginning here of Hebrews chapter 12. Now, stay with me for a moment here. You have to understand something. The word heaven is not even mentioned in chapter 11, except verse number 5, where it says that Enoch was translated to heaven. It's not mentioned in chapter 12 until verse 23, and it's talking about the church of the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. So in reference to people themselves being there in heaven, chapter 12, verse number 1 has nothing to do about heaven. Nothing. Now, everybody doing okay? Hang on. Now, let me say again, we have plenty of what God did say. Let's not waste our time on what God did not say. Too many people want to appear intelligent or super duper spiritual or having a word of knowledge or something like that. And they want to try to delve into things that God did not say. I just happen to believe God gave us what he wanted us to hear. We just got to preach it as he gave it to us. I'm not worried about what God did not say. If I could get Brother Jim, if I could nail down all he did say, I'd be doing pretty good.
Amen.
It's not a matter of what he didn't say. It's a matter of what he did say. And we don't need to worry about what he didn't tell us. Let's look at what God does say about this, and let's go forward. Now, I'm going to use just maybe a little humor to illustrate here, but the thought of people in heaven leaning over and watching, to me, is a bit creepy. I mean, what if I'm taking a shower? Yeah, sorry, Mom. You know, that thought just kind of, there's something wrong with that thought there. And how would they know what to look over and see? And when? See, sometimes we use these things to comfort ourselves. This is where you get people that think we're going to become angels and sit with harps on clouds and float around strumming harps for eternity. No, that's not what it is. You're not going to be in a toilet paper commercial. I mean, it's not one of those things. And you have to understand something. Heaven is not a place where people are watching us. Why would they want to see this mess down here? Why would they leave the luster of heaven to look down on this filth? And I hate to say it, it's just not right. The populace of heaven will only be witnesses to those things that they saw here on earth. The word witness, go back to 12:1 again. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of what? Witnesses. That is a justice term. That is a judicial term. It's like if you're going to court and you have to have your witnesses there. Kind of like Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a judicial word. The evidence comes out in the trial. How? By witnesses. By proof. 11:1 and 12:1 work together. So these witnesses are people who actually saw what happened during the events of your life. Now, there are people that I know that are in heaven that saw events in my life. But it doesn't mean they're leaning over heaven watching more. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Nod your head one way or the other. At least I can hear your head moving or something. You see, they can only be a witness to the things that they actually saw take place. For them to see what takes place, they'd have to be able to hear what takes place also. They're not going to do that from heaven. There's only two people that can do that from heaven. God the Father and God the Son. Well, what about God the Holy Spirit? He's sealed inside of you. But the only two that can look from heaven to earth to see what's going on is God the Father and God the Son. The only two. Not all of our loved ones, and I get it. And I've talked to many folks passing to the other side, and I've said, look, give Jesus a hug for me. And when Brother Jimbo was going, I asked him to give my mama a hug, and I miss a bunch of folks. And matter of fact, I leaned over Brother Jimbo and said, pick me out a good place for a tree stand. Build me a good one, Brother Jimbo. All right, preacher. Now, I enjoy that thought. But I don't think he's looking over to see how things are going. Does that make sense to everybody? You say, why? Why would they be in heaven want to see what's going on here? They left this world of death to go to life. Why would they want to look at death again? So let's jump into this and look at it from Scripture. Number one, the word wherefore. I said this before, wherefore is a transition word in grammar. Wherefore is, and therefore means that you go before. And as we went through Hebrews chapter 11, there were people that witnessed these great acts of faith in these people's lives. They had witnesses who saw what took place, watched them go through the opposition. The evidence was weighed, and they came through on top. They had to go through the problem. Chapter 12 is continuing that. Now watch this. Look at verse 3 again. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. In other words, Jesus left heaven, came here, and had that contradiction of heaven on earth, the sinless with the sinful, to pay our sin debt. And he had proof that he had never done sin. He had many false accusers. The accusation does not make one guilty. Now, so chapter 11 is God's examples to us of those who best lived by faith. And he is telling us that just as those in Hebrews 11 had many people who witnessed what they went through, we're going to have people witness what we go through. And we do. By the way, those people that witnessed that were on earth, not heaven. People didn't come down from heaven to go to a trial. So these are people that were here while they were here seeing what took place. You know, let's say there was a car accident. And it was your cousin, twice removed and three times added, four states away, and you heard it from somebody else. They're not going to call you to the witness stand to find out what happened. You weren't there to see it. Well, I heard about it. Yeah, you might have heard about it, but that doesn't mean you were a witness to it. Did your actual eyeballs see it and your actual ear holes hear it? Amen. That's what God's talking about, people that were there to see it. So God is saying that just as people witnessed the lives of these in chapter 11, we are going to have people who watch our lives and how we live here to be able to vouch for or witness for us when our works are tried in heaven. Say it. We're not going to be judged for our sins. The moment we get saved, that's cared for. But we will be tried, the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat, whatever you want to call it. We will be given our reward, our ranking for eternity based on what we did as a Christian. And there's going to people be standing saying, well, Brother Randy did this, and Brother Greg did that, and Brother Steve didn't do anything. Brother Steve and Miss Chris, they did these things. Yeah. See, there's things that get done that nobody knows. But I believe one day, God's going to say, well, Chris and Steve, you went to the church twice a week, cleaned bathrooms and hallways and toilets and sinks and made sure paper was in its spot, and nobody knew about it, but there's somebody watching. So you think they're going to get rewarded for that? You run out of stuff in there and find out how much a reward they deserve. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You see, we don't understand the depth of it. My wife and I recently tried to help a lady who was forsaken. And she needed a little extra help and a little extra blessing. I found out about it. And she found out yesterday she got her blessing. She said, I'm sitting here in a puddle of tears. I was reading Psalm 40, asking God to show me that he's still listening, and all of a sudden this came. I said, God answered your prayer. That's all you have to worry about. Now, will I receive a blessing just knowing she's cared for is blessing enough to me? I don't care. I want God to get the glory for it. She'd been begging God for it. She needed it. Hey, why not? Everybody doing okay? You see, when we get to heaven, heaven's going to be filled with, kind of like the sermon I preached Sunday night, your story is being written. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out how one little thing we did here might last a long time. And how far it really went. I almost hate saying this. About 11 and a half years ago, every Sunday morning, I started with about 15, 20 preachers, and I texted them early in the morning, about 4:30, quarter to 5, and tried to start their Sunday off with something encouraging. I'm up to about 60 preachers right now. But I'm finding out almost all of those 60 preachers now have a network of preachers that they're doing it with. And it's growing around the country. I didn't do it for that. I just know how tough it was for me sometimes to get up and say, here we go. I figured if I needed encouraged, best way for me to do it, put courage into somebody else. And God gave that. But watch, I've got a young man who's just going through a tough time, an assistant pastor. He said, Brother Bush, I look forward to getting up every morning just to read your text. There's days I don't even want to get out of bed, but I get up just so I can read your text. And I know I can make it another day. Can I tell you something? I didn't do it for that. There's a young man in his 20s that needed it. I'll take it. And I probably just lost my reward for it, but that's all right. I'll use it as the illustration. But I wonder how many times something like that goes unnoticed, but there's people that witness it. There's people that witness it. You see, the word wherefore. As you read Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, put them together. And realize what's going on in chapter 11 is continuing in chapter 12. And God uses this transition word, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I got to hurry here. Number two, the cloud of witnesses compass us about. The word compass there. The word cloud means to encircle or to be all about. It's not necessarily this white little floofy thing in the sky. We would use the word fog. Fog is a cloud. Amen, Brother Anthony. He and Miss Katora drove to Morgantown this morning in the rain through 68. And I said, it's going to be foggy. Be careful. And it was. Now, that fog is a cloud that's too close to the ground. It encircles you. It encompasses you. It kind of covers all the way around. That's exactly what God says. That you'll have so many people be able to vouch for you. Look how many people you've met in your lifetime. And worked around. Done business with. I mean, just think of the people that you transaction business with at the Walmart or the store. Well, not Walmart anymore. But in the stores when they used to have cashiers. It's a wonder anymore when the truck comes to Walmart, they don't ask the customers to go back and unload it for everybody because you got to do everything else there. Now, the word cloud means to encircle or to be all about. Heaven is as real of a place as earth is. Heaven, I believe, and you don't have to believe this exactly the way I do, but I believe it's a planet just like earth. God's very consistent. Why would he create earth and heaven be that much different? I believe it's a real place. Matter of fact, John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Now watch this. Clouds don't hold anything up. I've flown through more clouds than I can count in an airplane. Never a cloud one ever stopped an airplane. Now, some of the wind shear and stuff will. But the cloud itself isn't going to hold an airplane in the sky. If it can't hold an airplane in the sky, how's it going to hold millions and billions of people? You see, clouds are just water droplets, water vapor, and dirt. That's all it is. Our cloud of witnesses are the people that we live and interact with here on earth. This is our family. These are our neighbors. These are our friends. These are our co-workers. People at church. People to whom we minister. Out soul winning. People with whom we do business. Well, I can't tell you how many times somebody will come back from soul winning and say, "Preacher, I met somebody you know." Probably. "They said you knocked on their door." Probably. My wife and I were going somewhere yesterday, and I kind of started taking some back roads through Martinsburg to get from one end to the other. She said, "Where in the world are we? I didn't even know these roads." I said, "Oh, I've knocked doors on all these roads. Hang on, I know where I'm at." I said, "In just a second, we're going to go around this corner, and this is going to be down the road." She said, "I have never been down that road. I've been here 22 years and never been down that." Man, I know where I'm at. There's very few roads, unless it's new subdivisions, that I haven't been on in Berkeley or Jefferson County. Say, why? Because I've knocked on a heap of doors in the last 22 years. Almost every week of my life, knocking on doors, you're gonna knock on a lot of them. People will say, "Well, I met somebody that knows you." Brother Wiley's out truck driving, and every once in a while he'll be somewhere. He'll give him a track, and somebody will say, "I know him." "Yeah, I'm at the post office usually, sometimes it's my mother-in-law was at a, and father-in-law were at a retreat for their church in Minnesota, and the retreat was in Wisconsin. Well, the man that preached it, she said, "Craig, I think you know who he is." And she gave me the name, and I said, "Yeah, we went to college together. I haven't seen him in 35, 36 years. And she said, "He still remembers you." I thought, "I remember his name, but that's it. I had to go look at a stupid college yearbook to find out what he looked like." Now, wait a minute. It happens. That's that cloud of witnesses. Does that make sense? You don't realize how big that cloud could be in your life. Think of how many people you've met in your life. Now, I realize as a preacher, my whole life is people. You travel like I have, you've preached like I have, you've been to places I have, and it's in the millions and millions and millions and probably 10 plus million people I've met. I don't remember them all. I don't try to remember them all. Say why? You try it once. Some of you can't even remember your own kids' names and get them right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Number one, number two, or number three. It gets that bad sometimes, but especially when they're little. But anyway, you just got to understand that cloud of witnesses are the people around us that watch us live. People are watching whether you know they are or not. You're influencing people whether you know you are or not. Jackie, that lady last time I was praying at the commission meeting came up. "Hope you've got something good about evil in that. We need something strong about that tonight." There's somebody watching. I don't even know who she is. I really don't. I don't know who she is, especially because she was wearing a mask. Amen. Who was that masked person? But she has watched me enough to know who I was. It was before I was introduced. Obviously, she's been there before a few times. Say, "How'd that happen, preacher?" She knows what kind of preacher I am. She's probably never been to our church, but she knows. Say why? By how I pray. It's a little different. The cloud of witnesses. It's not people in heaven looking over the banister saying, "Oh, I saw you do that. Ha ha ha." Wasn't that? Number three, This is the best part. I'm about to shout. Look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. God wants us focused on Jesus, not the witnesses. Too many of us are trying to gather witnesses. We're trying to garner our own case. I got my eyes fixed on the Savior. And I'm just going to watch what he says. And here we go. And I'll let everybody watch what they want to watch. But I got my eyes focused on the Savior. Say, preacher, what about, it doesn't matter, I'm focused on the Lord. Well, I heard about a preacher and they've changed. It's okay, I'm focused on the Lord. Didn't get in the ministry for them, didn't get out because of them. My job is to focus on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Take your Bible. Let me say this. We don't need to worry about who is watching. We tend to look around to see who's watching instead of focusing on Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 14 for a second. We've got time. Matthew chapter 14. I've preached a sermon on this. It's been a long time ago. I may resurrect it one of these days. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse number 28. Oh, help me if I was in the right chapter. I'm in chapter 13. I'm not making that mistake again. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 28. That's the right one. We'll step up to verse 27. Remember, Jesus tells his disciples to get in the boat and go across the sea, and he'll meet them on the other side. And then a storm comes up, and he starts walking out on the water. And they said, look, it's a ghost. Verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, what's the next word? Okay, what is it again? If it be thou. Does that sound like he's real confident? Does that sound like he's full of faith? If it be thou, bid me come thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the what? Wind, boisterous. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little what? Faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. We are as guilty as Peter was getting out of the boat. We're more interested in proving than keeping our eyes focused on the Savior. We're more interested in looking around at the wind and the waves than keeping focused on Jesus. Do you know how close Peter was to Jesus when he began to sink? Less than 3 feet. Peter's arm to Jesus' arm. He was less than 3 feet away. And he's looking around. Say why? Because there's only one other person in the world that's ever walked on water and he's looking at him. Everybody, yeah, look at the faith Peter had. Jesus said, O thou of little faith. I believe Peter was disobedient. The will of God, Jesus being God, get in the boat, stay in the boat, and get to the other side. Jesus never said, if it gets a problem, get out of the boat and walk on the water. Oh, look at Peter's great faith. Jesus said, oh, thou of little faith. Not great faith, little faith. He wasn't willing to stay and endure the storm. Once he got back in the boat where he was supposed to be, the wind stopped, and so did the waves. if he'd have just stayed where he was, his faith would not have been little, it would have been large. Now, everybody doing okay? I wonder how many times we're guilty of the same thing. The problems start coming and we start looking around and looking at all the problems. Let's look at the solution, not the problems. Let's let Jesus care for the witnesses. Let's focus on our faith in him. What's our faith in him? The word of God. Usually the first thing to go is you spend more time thinking about your problem than you do reading the Bible. Read the Bible more. We think that everything's going to fall apart, so we quit living right. No, keep living right. Keep walking with God. Yield to the Holy Spirit, not to the flesh. Get in the Bible. Do what it says. Get up. Make it happen. Well, I don't feel like it. There's a lot of days I don't feel like it. But I still must do what I'm supposed to do. God strengthens that faith. God gives me the witnesses necessary, and we get the victory in the battle. But it doesn't come by looking at the problem all the time. Just as Peter got out of the boat and looked around and began to sink, keep focused on Jesus, not looking for witnesses in your life. I hate to tell you something, the more witnesses you're looking for, the less you're doing for him. You're trying to build your own case. Let it build itself. Keep yourself focused, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Matter of fact, number three, there is no record of people in heaven looking down on us. I've gone through this Bible more times than I can count. There have been a few people who came back from the dead, but they weren't looking down from heaven. Samuel came in a vision to Saul through a witch at Endor, but it doesn't say he was looking over heaven. Moses and Elijah came on the Mount of Transfiguration, but it didn't say they were looking over heaven. They came down to earth. People were brought back to life, like Jairus' daughter, the widow's son with Elisha, and Lazarus, but it doesn't say that they looked over the banister of heaven to see what was going on. You'll not find one person in that book from Genesis to Revelation other than God the Father and God the Son who looked down from heaven to see anything on earth. I challenge you, go look for it. It's not there. The only one who sees us from heaven is God. Now, there are people who go to heaven before us and will go there after us who have witnessed our lives. But they don't see from heaven what's taking place right now. I know many people that are in heaven already. Probably I will die before many people much younger than I, but they're still witness to my life that one day when they get there, I may get there before they do, but guess what? They're still witness to my life. And they'll arrive when necessary. So there's not one record of one person looking down from heaven outside of the Godhead. Number four. Hey, it's only 13 minutes till. Don't put your shoes on yet. Here's the rest of the whole sermon, Paul Harvey. Now you know the rest of the story. Living by faith will cause opposition, trials, and testing that needs proven by evidence. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. One page back. Now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Preacher, I just don't see how this is going to work out. The evidence will work itself out. The evidence will come. Keep focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of it, and the evidence will come. Now watch this. How do we do it? Glad you asked. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Now, if you're writing your Bibles or writing notes, this is a good time to start writing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, did it say the happiness? No, joy. That was set before him, what's the next word? Endured the cross. It will take endurance to have faith. It takes endurance to have faith. If there's going to be a trial, there's usually problems before the trial. That's what precipitates the trial. Then you have all the filings and things. Then you have the time to gathering all the evidence. And then you finally get to a trial. Days, weeks, months, sometimes years, depending on what type of court, type of situation. But it doesn't happen fast. And there's a period in there that you have to endure the things you don't know. The substance of things hoped for, waiting for the evidence you don't see. Yeah. And it takes endurance. But the cloud of witnesses will prove your rightness in faith. I have to believe that even when bad times come, as I keep focused on the Lord, keep doing what he said, I'll endure until the enemy is defeated. He may knock me down, he may set me back a little bit, but guess what? I'm getting back up and charging again. You say, but preacher, it doesn't matter how bad it is. Endure. Jesus endured the cross. They killed him unjustly. They coughed up defilement in their throats and spit in his face. The Son of God. They ripped his back open to where his insides were falling out his back and had to put a robe on to hold him together so that they could torture him a little longer. They beat a crown of thorns into his head with 3 to 5 inch spikes in there, beating him with sticks to beat it into the bone in his head. Took handfuls of beard, Brother Scott, and started ripping it out. Jesus was not this little picture you see of this long-haired hippie with a little trickle of blood down his hands and his feet and a little one come down each side of his face. The Bible says in Isaiah that he was beaten so bad they couldn't tell if it was a man or an animal. Hanging on the cross, he didn't look real successful. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. He had to wait for the evidence to come through. The devil thought he had it. Can you imagine how sad hell was on that Sunday morning? Can you imagine how sad the devil must have been when Jesus resurrected from the dead? So it takes endurance. Look at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction. That's Jesus. He had to endure the contradiction of being God in the flesh. Sinlessness living amongst the sinful. Think of how much Jesus had to put up with the very people he helped create. Y'all think your family's bad? Think of what he had to put up with. Uh-oh. That's a big pizza. Yeah. King stuff pizza. Anyway. Now, wait a minute. The endurance that he had to go through. You know, sometimes we think we have it so bad. He left everything to come here. Next, go back to verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, watch this, despising the shame. Everybody look at me for a second. Do you think Jesus enjoyed people mocking him? Do you think Jesus enjoyed battling with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the unsaved heathen of his day, thinking he was some kook? Modern day, oh, you're part of a cult. This is not a cult. Never has been, never will be. We don't serve Kool-Aid. Can I tell you something? There is a despising and a shame that goes with it. They took the very Son of God, Brother Jim, and stripped him naked and they nailed him to a cross, hanging there with nothing on. Can you imagine how shameful that would be? He endured it. He did it for you and me. And we stub our toe and want to cry. Somebody wants to make fun of us and we want to quit. No, we're to endure it. I know there's people out there that misunderstand me, and they misunderstand even sometimes my attitude. I hate sin, but I love sinners. I love people. I love helping people. I've even had enemies who have tried some pretty nasty things, and I've won some of them back to be my friends. What a wonderful opportunity that is. Do I enjoy the stigma sometimes that goes with the preaching that I must do? I don't worry about it because I don't pay attention to them. I'm focused on Jesus. I really do. It doesn't bother me. Others are going to despise or shame you, but the cloud of witnesses will prove you right. They have the evidence to prove you right, and you live by faith trusting that. You say, but preacher, that's not natural. Yeah, because it's not sinful. It's not your flesh. It's supernatural. Live in the supernatural, not the natural. Spend time with the supernatural and less time with the natural. You see, look at verse 3 again. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Well, preacher, just nobody's listening to me anymore. Do you think they listen to Jesus? Let me close with this thought for a second. They were willing to let a known murderer go to kill Jesus. Huh. So how do we do it? Verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. God tells us to lay aside our weights. Now, I'm not a long distance runner. I played baseball because I only had to run 90 feet at a time. There's a reason. Soccer to me is the stupidest sport in the world. You run, you can't even draw blood on purpose. Can't beat somebody, can't hit them, can't tackle them. Well, you can slide, it ain't the same. At least with baseball, I only had to run 90 feet at a time. Amen, Brother Jim? I was pretty quick on a sprint, but I'm not a long distance runner. And I've never seen a happy jogger. You're going to die healthy. Is all I'm going to say. Now, wait a minute. I get it. But I do know something about running. If you're going to run a marathon, You're not going to put 40 pounds of armor on and a 60-pound backpack and three weapons and start running. True? Too much weight. You want to be as lightweight as you can. Then how come when we're facing opposition, we start loading ourselves down? We allow depression. We allow fear. We allow all the anger. We allow bitterness. We allow all the emotions involved. And we start piling it on top. And we wonder how we're ever going to get. You're not, because you just buried yourself. God said, lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Everybody has a sin that they go to first. You're weakest at. May be different for everybody. But we all have it. Everybody doing okay? Come on. I went from preaching to meddling. I get it. God says, lay aside the weights and lay aside the sins and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Preacher, how do you make it through all those battles? How do you make it through all those tough times? How do you make it through all the hard appointments? How do you make it through all the things that you've had to carry in your ministry? Because I put the weights aside and I look unto Jesus and I keep my feet moving. I can't always see the finish line, but I know who's waiting for me at that finish line. I just have to keep on running till I see him. You see, the lost and unspiritual world don't understand that. They can't understand spiritual things. They are going to despise and hate you. That's a sign you're going the right direction sometimes. Do you think I want the devil happy with our church? No. He's happy with the rock and roll churches. He's not bothering them. He's not bothering the churches with the wrong Bibles and the wrong doctrines. Old smutty faces around, hang on. I told somebody this morning, but I got my foot stuck somewhere he doesn't like, and I'm kicking as hard as I can. And they said, kick him harder. Okay, I'll try. Can I tell you something? We're just supposed to lay those weights aside. Why do we want to keep compounding with more and more weight? And when I was training to go to Montana, I added weight with my workouts. I get that. But that was in conditioning. That wasn't a race. If I had to race, I was dropping everything I had that was legal to drop and start running. You add the weights for conditioning, not for the race. Weight yourself down before the trial comes, so when it comes, you're strong enough to take it. Too many of us don't train. We just wait, and then we just keep piling on, wonder why we can't pick it up. Boy, that's good stuff. So, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Don't worry about who the witnesses are. It's everybody around you that's watched you your whole life and will watch you. But let's look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are people watching us from heaven? No. Did you get a glimpse of your mother or mother-in-law? No. Well, I felt their presence. No, you didn't. There's no such thing as that mess. I hate to disappoint you. You may have had a memory of something that sparked your memory, but they weren't there. Everybody doing okay? Well, I like to think that. Okay, you can think that, but it's not scriptural. Almost every day of my life, I think about something my mother taught me, but it doesn't mean she's sitting in my office. Because if she is, I'm making a new door in there. Mean to tell you, I'm coming out of there. Everybody doing? And I love my mama, but I know where she's at down there. And if she's sitting in my office, we got problems. I'll call the ambulance myself, on myself. Folks, it doesn't happen that way. That's us trying to make ourselves feel good. No, the cloud of witnesses are everybody that's watching us run our race here on earth. Some have already gone to heaven. Some will follow us to heaven. But people in heaven aren't looking down saying, oh yeah, you got to go to the shower now. I ain't watching. Nope. Nope. Doesn't happen that way. Well, preacher, you just blew everything that I... I'm sorry, but I got to tell you the truth. But if you understand what the truth is, it goes with Hebrews 11 about our faith. That's the important part of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. How about we quit worrying about the witnesses and how about we start looking unto Jesus? Let's strengthen our faith. Let's not be weak of faith like Peter and jump out of the boat. Let's be strong of faith like those that stayed in the boat.